Praise God. Genesis 19 tonight. Turn to your Bible. Genesis 19. His name is Richard Lee McNair. And he is a convicted murderer known for his ability to escape and elude capture. In 1987, McNair murdered one man and shot a second man four times during a botched robbery. And he is currently serving two terms of life imprisonment for these crimes, including escaping from prison. After McNair's arrest in 87, he escaped three different times from three different institutions using various creative methods. On his first attempt, he used lip balm. And lip balm helped him squeeze out of his handcuffs. He escaped a second time by crawling through a ventilation duct. And in his last escape from a federal prison in April of 2006, he escaped by concealing himself in a pallet of used postal mail bags. And successfully, he convinced a police officer that he was not the prison that he was not the prison escapee, but he was actually a jogger. Amen. When he got out of the facility, he was running down the street and he was able to change clothes. And he actually convinced the officer that he was just a jogger, and he had no idea that there was someone that escaped. All I want to show from these illustrations, or from this illustration, is his ability to escape. His ability to escape and elude. He was very good at escaping. You know, spiritually, escaping is something that we need to be good at. Because if you develop this art, I would reference it, the art of escape. If you developed, you know, this art, listen, it will save your life and even your relationship with God. So I want to talk to you this evening or tonight about the way of escape in Genesis 19, 15 through 17. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside that he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." Father, we pray that you would move tonight, your spirit in this place, lay hold of hearts, help us to escape temptation, sin, and the weapons that are formed against us. May they not prosper. Encourage us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A way of escape. I want to talk to you first about an urgent escape. I said that we need to become good at escaping, and what I meant by that is escaping sin, temptation. Heaven urges us to escape evil. Demonstrated in our text, you have three angels, and they are urging Lot and his family to escape. And so we know this is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is a wicked place. It's a wicked time. God is going to bring judgment upon this city. Sodom and Gomorrah is known for its homosexual acts, and it's known for their pride, their love for carnality, their flesh. It's rampant sin, okay? And so this is the condition of this city. It says in Genesis 18:20, and the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave." I want to teach you a biblical principle tonight. And that principle is, have no part with wickedness. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, it says, abstain from evil, abstain from every form of evil. In the New Living Translation, it says, stay away. And it's the thought of avoiding or keeping your distance. Now, in our story, heaven is trying to put distance between Lot and evil. Again, God is going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah for their evil. He's going to judge these cities. And God gets involved. And he, through these angels, he's trying to get Lot to run for his life, escape to the hills. Separate yourself from this evil place. God's desire, church, is to bring us out of evil, such as what's been illustrated in our story. In other words, God wants to take evil out of our hearts. He wants to set us free, do more than just bring forgiveness, but give you victory over your sin, to where sin doesn't have dominion over you. You can escape the temptation. You can separate yourself from when sin is knocking on your door. You don't have to respond to it anymore, because God not only forgave you of that sin, but he's given you power to overcome it. So it's God's desire to bring us out of evil, right? Or to take evil, amen, out of us. And so God doesn't want you bound. Listen, evil is present in our life. We are still living in a world where sin is rampant. God saved you. And so surrounding you is still a number of folks, a world, to where they are not living for God. They're not concerned of their own personal sin. So it still surrounds us. And listen, one day God is going to take us from here to heaven where there's no sin. Yes, but now, right now, currently, while we are still living on the earth, we are saved, yes, but God wants to teach us how to escape temptation when it comes, how to avoid it, how not to give yourself to it. And that's the idea, amen, with this thought of escape. This is the purpose of our Lord's death, and that is to end evil in our hearts. Jesus died and resurrected to forgive us of our sins, to cover us from judgment of sin, but beyond that, to build within us the ability to escape it, to master over it and not it over us. It's the idea of Joseph in the Old Testament. When Potiphar's wife was trying to put herself onto Joseph and commit adultery, and Joseph, we know the story, she is hitting on Joseph, take me to bed, this is her cry. And what Joseph did is he turned and ran for his life. He didn't end up committing that sin. You know why? Because he escaped. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to notice the urgency in our text. So here is Lot, and the Bible tells us that he was lingering in the city. So they show up, and through a number of events, it gets to the point to where the angels are saying, get out and get out now. But Lot was still lingering. And so what the angels had to do is they had to take them by their hand and put them outside of the city. It doesn't tell us exactly. They don't tell us that they teleported or they simply just walked there or ran. I don't know. It just says that the angels took them by the hand and placed them outside the city. In other words, there was an urgency to escape, to get away, put separation between this evil and Lot and his family. You see, church, there's a principle here. God wants you free from your sin, not later, now. God wants you free from your sin now, not tomorrow, not at a convenient time. Listen, God wants to set you free now. You know, it's interesting. I have outreached, I've evangelized, talked to people about Jesus, and it comes up again and again where I am told that, you know, one day, Pastor, one day I'll get saved. One day I'll give my life to God. I'm just not ready yet, or, you know, I'm just not prepared. But here's the thing. You never will be ready. You never will be ready for salvation. There's nothing you can do to be ready for salvation. You are already in need for salvation. So the time is now. You can't make it better. There's nothing you can do. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is like filthy rags. There is no righteousness within us. We are in desperate need for forgiveness and in desperate need for God to help us to escape, amen, judgment on our sin. And so if this was the case in our story, that they can linger, such as what Lot was doing, let me tell you, Lot would have been there when judgment was placed and he would have died in the city. It would have been too late. So that got me thinking. I wonder how many miss their opportunity of freedom because they linger. You know, it's just a little sin. You know, I don't need to talk to pastor about it. It's just a little thing I'm dealing with. And, you know, God still loves me. I'll just, you know, try to deal with it. And I wonder how many miss their opportunity of freedom because they linger. You know what Lot is? Lot is a man of God. He's represented in the text as a man of God. Lot is a Christian. What about people of God when they linger? Think about that. I'm not talking about sinners, which that's another case. You know, you can witness to someone and they can say, oh, you know, like I said, mentioned before, one day I'll get saved. Well, one day it might be too late. But what about the people of God? If we be honest, many linger around temptation longer than they should. You see, if you could, Sodom and Gomorrah is pictured as evil. It's a temptation. It's something you want to avoid. It's something that you don't want nothing to do with as a man or woman of God. And the point is, temptation is to be avoided, not something that you linger and play around with. Now, I'm not saying that we can avoid every temptation in life. That's impossible. We're going to be tempted. But what I am saying is that when we are tempted, we should separate ourselves from whatever is tempting us instead of lingering around it. Instead of avoiding it, you see how close you can get without sinning. You try your very best to get just close enough to where you're not actually sinning. You try and get close without falling to it. People do this with pornography. People do this with unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart. People do this with jealousy and hate. You know, I want to tell you, God knows that we will be tempted. He understands our carnal nature. He understands the design of carnality, and that is, friend, in James 1:14, it spells it out for us, but each one of you is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. You see, we are tempted because there is a desire, and it's that desire that seeks to pull you in. God understands this, so what he does is he gives us a way of escape. Just like in our story, Lot, he was visited by the supernatural. Here is heaven trying to help him escape an evil place. God wants to help you escape an evil place in your heart. Things that you should have nothing to do with. This is why you feel convicted. This is why the Holy Spirit would start to deal with you about certain things in your life. Maybe they're not sin now, but if you linger long enough, eventually you're going to fall to it. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of an escape that you may be able to bear it." And so, church, this is the love of God. He provides a way of escape. Heaven urges that we escape. You need to become a spiritual escape artist. You need to be good at escaping, amen. You need to be good at avoiding and not lingering around sin that wants to ensnare, trap, or damage you. And that's what I want to talk to you about next, church. I want to talk to you about when you feel trapped. Genesis 19:18 in our story, it says, "Then Lot said to them, Please know, my lords, indeed now, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have increased your mercy, which you have shown me by saving my life, but I cannot escape to the mountains lest some evil overtake me and I die." So Lot is apparently afraid to leave evil because he does not know what's on the other side. In other words, church, sin has a way of making you feel trapped. John 8:34, it says, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Listen, Lot has established himself to that city. He's learned to compromise with what's going on in that city. He's learned to live with it. People do this. You linger long enough, you start to graft in a certain lifestyle that condones a certain behavior. So here comes the angels. They tell Lot, and Lot insisted, "Look, this is the way I'm living. I'm familiar with this place. I don't know what's out there." But they still tell him to escape. Lot knew the evil that surrounded him, yet he compromised and tried living with it. This is what happens. You become enslaved to your sin. I remember there was a man in my church. He made a decision to live for God, and God helped him so much. God did a miracle in his life. Powerful miracle. What he did was is he started evangelizing to his family. And so his mom ends up getting saved. His mom comes down to the church. She gets radically saved. And it was a glorious time. His brother started coming. God was adding to the church. We just pioneered. We've been pioneering a few years now. This was in Las Vegas, and we're building a work there. People are coming. God is touching lives. Amen. And so this young man, he brings his mom, his brother, and people started coming, getting saved. But I remember one night, the mom comes to me and she tells me that she has a pill problem. And it happened over the years. She went to a doctor and she, you know, got in some type of accident and started taking painkillers and different things. And like some do, she gets hooked on them. Well, through the process of time, she develops a strange relationship. I'm not sure all the details, but a strange relationship with this doctor. And the reason I say that is because she finally is able to function outside of her accident in life, yet he continues to prescribe these painkillers to this woman. Now, what he was is he went from a doctor to a drug dealer because she doesn't need them. He knows that she's not in, in pain anymore, and she knows, and he knows that she's abusing the system, but he prescribes it anyway. Well, what she ended up doing, she lost her job, and then she started taking these pills and she started to sell them. And her supplier was this doctor, and they had a system. This is a true story, folks. She lived for years. I'm talking 15, 20 years doing this. It was a part of her life. This was her paycheck. This is how she lived. She didn't work a normal job. She was a drug dealer. But she comes into the church, gets radically saved, and you know, God starts dealing with her to get her heart right. Well, she hasn't worked a normal job in I don't even know how long, and this is all she knows how to do. It's clockwork. It's every time, the same day, the same times, the same appointments. She would meet this doctor and meet certain people, and she would sell these pills, and she would make, this is how she lived. Well, one night she came to me sharing this with me, pouring her heart out, and she wants to be free. And thank God. We take those pills. I said, give me those pills. She gives them to me. I take them, and what I did is I threw them in the dumpster. I prayed with her. I felt the presence of God. It was powerful. Well, the next day, I get a phone call. And it's this woman. She's frantic. I can hear her. She's breathing hard, and I'm saying, ma'am, what's going on? You okay? And she goes, I'm in the dumpster, and I need to know where those pills are at. And I was like, what? What do you mean? You wanted to get free. We prayed. We believed God. And you're telling me that you ran straight back to them? And she goes, Pastor, you don't understand. It's how I make a living. I said, well, if God was dealing with you to escape that kind of lifestyle, why are you running back to it? And in so many words, she was telling me she's trapped. She's trapped. There's nothing she can do. Hell has convinced her this is the way her life has to be. Let me tell you something, church. This is what sin is designed to do. Sin is designed to make you think that God can't help you. That there is more pleasure in your sin than there is in the will of God. Listen, many are convinced they can't become free. They have fallen so much, they always seem to go back to it. It's redundant, it's repetitive. Again and again, they fall. But we must remember, church, there is hope and there is a way of escape. There is a place we can run to for safety. You see, church, victory over our sin means no looking back. You know, here is Lot and his wife, his daughters, his family, they're running up this mountain. They're escaping for their life. And while they're running, for whatever reason, Lot's wife decide to look back. And this is where we find where God turned her into a pillar of salt. Church, if you want freedom, you need to take the way of escape that God provides. Don't try to manipulate it. Don't try to fashion it in a certain way to where it still can condone what God is trying to get you away from. You need to run as fast and as hard as you, listen, as you can, and never look back. Never look back. I want to close on a wonderful promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Church, God promises an escape. This is the glorious good news for you and me. No matter your temptation, no matter your sin, there is a way out, and you're not trapped. You're not trapped. You might think your case is unique. You might think you have it harder than most, but it should encourage you tonight that you, listen, what you're going through, someone else has escaped from it. Someone else has walked your shoes, been where you've been, lived what you've lived. You're not a unique case. And they got free. And if they can get free, you can get free. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Listen to this. The temptations in your life are no different from what others have experienced. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. And what this text is telling you and what it's telling me is that you might be saying, no one knows what I'm going through. You might be saying, you just don't understand. You just don't understand what I'm up against. Well, you might be saying these things, but I want to tell you, the reality is that there are people that do understand. There are people that have been where you've been. And they are free. If they are free, you can be free. And that one person that trumps every other experience is found in Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible tells us that He was tempted in every way we are tempted. Christ was tempted in every way. Listen, I want to tell you, church, Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. When He died on that cross, He took your punishment of sin upon Himself. And how many understand when you're punished for a crime, you're convicted, you go to jail? Well, the spiritual jail is hell. Did you know that after 3 days, Jesus rose from the grave? You know where He was those 3 days? The Bible says the belly, Hades. And He took the keys of life from Hades, and He rose from the dead, and He overcame death, hell, and the grave. In other words, He was wrongfully convicted. Because when someone is wrongfully convicted of a crime, they have to be let go. Jesus never committed a sin. And when He took your punishment upon Himself, when He took your sins and put it on Himself, it pleased God, but at the same time, death couldn't keep Him captive. Hell couldn't keep Him captive. Hallelujah. Because He's sinless. He's been where you've been. And you can't ever say that about God. You can't tell God, God, you don't know. You're God. You don't know what it's like. Let me tell you something. God left heaven to come to earth. The Bible says that He came to His own and we beheld His glory. God Himself was birthed through a virgin, born, not of man's semen, not of man's seed, but of the Holy Spirit. And He walked amongst us. I'm talking about the one that created us. Think about this, church. He's been where you've been. He's been here. He's wore your shoes. Listen, He understands what you're up against. He designed you. He knows the strategies of evil that are against you. He knows how hell wants to rip you off. He knows where the Bible tells, amen, where it says that hell is forming weapons against you, but He says they won't prosper. You know how I know that? Because He wrote it. The Holy Spirit, through men of God, wrote the Bible. It's God's Word. And Jesus is the Word of God. Friend, I want to tell you, He's been there. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard your case might be, and yes, it might be hard. But I want to tell you, God gives us a promise. I can make a way of escape for you. I can get you out. I can help you. I remember I get a phone call. I close this story. I remember this man wanted to give his life to Jesus. I got a phone call. Well, a friend of mine I was visiting at his church gets a phone call. He's a pastor of this church. And this young man wants to get right with God. He wants to get things in order. He wants to get away from his lifestyle. And so what he does is he tells his pastor, which is my friend at the time I was there, and he said, "Hey, I want to clean out my apartment. I want to get out of here." So we show up, and I want to tell you, man, there's been few times in my life to where I've seen a lot of drugs. I mean, a whole lot of drugs. And there's few times in my life where I actually allowed myself to be around such an amount of drugs. And this night was one of them. We packed the car full. I mean, you name it, it was a lot. I remember taking and helping them clean everything out. I mean, you name it, it was nasty. Everything involved, porn mags, everything. We had it all, this guy had it all wrapped up. We're gonna go and throw it away, and we didn't want it anywhere around him. I remember taking one of his bongs. He had a bunch of them. One of them we actually spilled. Do you ever spill bong water? It went in the pastor's car, and man, he had to live with that for like 2 or 3 months. I think just the smell wouldn't go away. So we take all this stuff, and what we do is we go and we burn it, and we throw it in a trash in dumpster. What couldn't burn? We just had a little bonfire, you know, just praying and worshiping God, talking about Jesus, burned everything. And this guy, you know, he eventually moves away. Gets out of there. Went on to live for God. I'm not sure today if he's still in the church. I don't know. I just know that he made a choice to get things in order. He found a way and escape, and he took it. Church, God wants to do so much in your life. God has so much for you. Don't linger around sin, especially things that God doesn't want you around. Separate yourself, make a choice, and live for God. Run to Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen.